You're listening to the Camp Nation podcast. Find us online at campnation.ca.
Welcome to Camp Nation podcast number 6, the one where Dan speaks French. Today's episode features our discussion on Facebook and your host picks of the week.
Well, good day and welcome to the Camp Nation for the second week of March 2010. My name is Travis Allison and I'm the social media manager at Our Kids Media. And I was a camp director for 15 years at Glenmore Camp and Cairn in Muskoka, Ontario. I'm going to take a moment now and just ask my co-host to introduce themselves.
Hi, my name is Dan Weir, and I'm the director of Camp Alwayanda at Frost Valley YMCA. And Frost Valley is a year-round camping, conferencing, education facility in the Catskill Mountains of New York.
And hi, my name is Gabrielle Rail, and I'm one of the directors at Camp Waro. It's an all-girls camp situated in the Laurentians in northern Quebec.
And my name's Joe Richards, and I'm the administrative director at Pierce Williams Christian Center, which is a year-round summer camp, retreat facility, and outdoor education center in southwestern Ontario.
We're going to start off our show today with our links. And for those of you just joining us for the first time, our links are just some news about the camping industry, about recreation field, stuff like that, things to help us all keep up on what's going on in the world. Gab, why don't we start off with your link?
Sure. My link I found was an article on Slate Magazine, which is an online magazine. It's geared towards anxious parents. It's called Why Can't Johnny dot, dot, dot. So why can't Johnny, you know, jump over the moon, basically. And what it talks about is the anxieties of the expectations of parents, specifically about age-appropriate behaviors and capabilities. And I thought this was a great article. It's directed towards parents, but I think it's a great article for camp directors. Some of us deal with anxious parents, and and sometimes we don't have the language to convey to them that every child does develop in their own rate, and, you know, where, quote-unquote, Johnny might be, that's okay for him right now. You know, eventually he'll be able to do a J-stroke or climb the rock climbing wall. That's not necessarily what camp is about. Maybe it's about personal development. And I think some parents have a hard time with that. And this is a great article, I think, to give a little bit of science behind what we do.
Yeah. I checked it out this morning, actually, when Joe tweeted it and reminded me that you put it out there. So it's a great article. Thanks, Kath.
No problem.
Dan, what's your link?
My link is on Instructables.com, which is just, it's like the ultimate arts and crafts website, I feel. Basically, rustic hammock-style wilderness chair. And for us, the first thing for people to fight over at fire rings are the seated benches. And so this looks like just an awesome project you could do with all your camp kids and making a hammock out of just some rope and some logs that you'll find around your camp. And I just really love the fact that the kids could build it, and then they could actually sit in it and kind of have that sense of accomplishment. Like, you know, I made this, and on top of it, it could support me. It could be something you set up every session with camp or whatnot. But we put it out to our staff on our Facebook staff page, and the feedback was just awesome, just to hear people kind of going back and forth about it.
I like that project, Dan, because it also sounds like something maybe campers can do as a rainy day program where they can build it indoors and then... Could you do that? Could you build the rope part indoors and then go outside and set it up?
Oh, definitely, yeah, just from the looks of it. And the nice thing is, too, you could download the whole thing into a PDF, and you literally have something you could just hand to a staff member. That sometimes we get so stuck on that we have to lead the activity. But definitely you could just literally hand it to them, and it just says, like, you need 6 logs and some rope, and, you know, and there you go. You could definitely make it into a competition, so you can make a love seat or a couch from there as well.
You'd go for a 15-person love seat.
Yeah, yeah. We have to change the name, though, because love
seat. It could be like the biggest bed that the Mennonite furniture place has on the 401 in Waterloo.
Yes, that I drive past every day. The big yellow bed.
Rope, Sharpies, and garbage bags are a really hot commodity at our camp, so I'd probably have to hide the rope before.
And duct tape.
It's like gold. Yeah, duct tape, exactly. Yeah. But there's certainly a lot of logs lying around, so...
It's funny, I was thinking just today about how much camp people love a good Sharpie.
Yeah. I'm using a Sharpie right now.
Our staff used to freak out in the spring when I'd buy a whole bunch of office supplies, and I would never let them know where the Sharpies were. They'd have to sort of find them. He or she who found the Sharpies was the most excited.
your form of an Easter egg hunt.
Exactly. Joe, you have a link for us?
Yeah, my link is just there seems to be a trend this year, which is the first year I've experienced it on Google Alerts, that there's a trend with lots and lots of articles regarding saving money on camp, making camp more affordable. And so I posted links to three of them. It's just it's an interesting take on it, because a lot of those links are American, but there are some Canadian. There's Canadian links out there as well. That basically it's this whole culture that how to save money on camp. So it was interesting to read through some of them and see what the thoughts were.
So it's written for a parent.
Yeah.
Nice.
And they're good articles. They make sense to you?
They make sense. I come from this from the perspective that there's, you know, having worked at a camp in the past where we charged a lot of money for a child to come for a week of camp or for a 2 or 3 week session, and now where we charge a child very little money to come for a week at camp. So from my perspective, it's, you know, I know how you can save money. Send your kids here. But there's this whole concept that parents are also starting to, if we're not selling camp properly, they're not going to realize why camps are charging so much, right? If you're a camp and you're charging $2,000 for a week at camp, you need to really sell why you as a parent should spend $2,000 on a week at camp.
Right.
That's my favorite thing about camp fairs as well, because we're a non-profit, and so people go around the room and, like, usually if they've gone around the room enough, they'll start, the first question becomes the price, not what does your camp provide. And it's pretty amazing to see what people are charging.
Yeah. And we're in Quebec, if you're a private camp, there's very few private camps in Quebec. And so we're about par with the Ontario camps, but in Quebec, we're definitely probably one of the most expensive ones, just simply because we're up against a lot of agency camps, and you really have to show where the money is going to parents, understandably. So, money's important right now. There's a lot of people are really taking care of where that's going.
Joe, what were some of the suggestions that they had for saving money?
So some of their suggestions, Travis, were things like find camps that have sibling discounts, find camps, register early for camps, shop around for camps, buying, if it's a week-long camp and you can stay for 2 or 3 weeks, sometimes you'll get a discount on buying more weeks, just the same as, you know, a full session versus half a session at most camps. It costs less to go to half a session, it costs less to go to the full session if you, you know, multiplied it out. So interesting things like that. And also all things that I've been taught by various camp owners in the past, how to talk parents out of, right? If parents ask for a sibling discount, the response is, well, both kids get the same great camp experience. So it's interesting. I'm not saying I agree with it all. It's just this overwhelming trend that it seems that parents or people are thinking that, you know, they need to save money on summer camp.
Right.
We actually do a three-tiered system with our pricing, and it sounds really weird when you're pitching it to a new family, but we allow people to choose the rate they're going to pay. And it's something we actually took from a Y in San Diego. And so it allows people to pay more if they want to.
So they can choose from one of those three things.
Yeah, it's three different prices, and I'm actually pulling up a registration form now so I could read verbatim what it says. But it works out really well. A lot of people actually take advantage of paying us more, and if they can afford more, it's great. And if they can't, you know, definitely especially with the economy last year, a lot of parents found this a relief, and we've taken a fair amount of extra income with that, and we just put that towards scholarshiping families to come into camp. So yeah, here I'll read it. So Frost Valley serves families with different abilities to pay. Tuition A and B more accurately account for true costs, including wear and tear and depreciation. This program is voluntary and in no way influences the experience children receive. 100% of the additional fees from A and B fund facility replacements and improvements. Tuition C is our historically subsidized rate and does not reflect the true cost of operating. And that says right underneath, no, there's no difference in the camp experience for your child. So and parents really buy into it, and it's worked out well. San Diego, when they did it, they did a difference of about $200 per level. So it was like, you know, 400 and 600 and 800. We just have a $75 difference per level. And we find people, you know, definitely choose the highest level as well. But we've been doing it for 3 years now, and we love it.
And when you introduced it for the first, since you've only been doing it for 3 years, what was the response from your clients?
The returning clients were definitely like, "What? What do you want? What's going on? We could choose. I don't get it." But once we kind of explained why, and really kind of emphasized the nonprofit status that we have, they really kind of bought into it and understand it. And our C level is pretty modest. It's not the lowest of camp fees, but it's definitely really affordable for families here. And even the A level, it still doesn't match up with some profit camps in the area. So. The bottom cost for tuition for 2 weeks is $14.50, and then the middle level is $15.25, and then the highest level is $16.25. So yeah, it works out really well, and my CEO has really taught me well in the sense of like that money does fuel the mission, and that it's important not to get too caught up in the business sense. If you don't have people coming to camp, you can't provide the program of the same quality. So
that's a great idea.
Yeah, we introduced that. We introduced that program 2 summers ago, so this will be our 3rd summer now. And I found out about it through the Seattle Y,
yeah.
And then called the San Diego Y just to ask permission to use almost the exact wording that you read off, Dan. So
yeah, I think ours is pretty
I believe
same.
That. Yeah, I believe that we're probably the first camp in Canada to introduce that sort of funding model. I couldn't find any others when we had started it, so. Even for a small camp like us, it brings in the first year, $10,000 of additional income, which we would have never seen, which in relation, we only bring in around $70,000 a year in income. So it's like 15% increase.
Nice.
Okay, thank you for those. We're going to post a link from Dan with that registration form in the show notes from today. So my news about the industry is actually from Jen Selke at thecampdirector.com. And she is running a book club about Seth Godin's new book, Lynchpin. And I know Dan's involved for sure. Mm-hmm. And I've been listening to Lynchpin on my drives into Mississauga from Woodstock. And it's a funny book for me to listen to because it actually gets me thinking so much that I stop listening to the book and I have to push pause. And I, as I've said before, I use Evernote all the time to record voice notes as I drive. And so I push pause all the time to record a voice note, but then I keep getting lost within the book. But it's one of Seth Godin's best books yet, I think. I always find it's useful, but sometimes I find Seth's books are a little almost gimmicky.
Yeah.
This one I think is really bang on. It's great. So if you want to join the discussion that's going on there, it's at thecampdirector.com/lynchpin. And that's LINCHPIN. And I'm sure it's not just for camp people, but it's a bunch of camp people who are talking about how it relates to camp and how we can inspire our staff to be artists and things like that. So I think it's a great book and a really neat thing that Jen's doing to host that for us.
I wrote a post last night on it, and it was just the thing I like about Seth's writing is that it's so quotable, and so it was really easy to kind of read the book and see the parallels, and also see how it could help other people as well too, but just really kind of understand the power of their job. And so one aspect I talked about this quote was, "The indispensable employee brings humanity and connection and art to her organization," and I talked about how. Sometimes it's hard to convey those all-star counselors to people, and especially to people that want to become staff, and why what makes them an all-star, and what separates them just from like the counselor that's just good, and definitely like I felt like a lot was wrapped up a lot of my feelings of why they're an all-star in that quote.
I haven't read it or listened to it, but I'm certainly interested, especially since I've had those experiences, Travis, where you're reading something and or you're listening to something and your brain just goes the other way simply because it gets you thinking. So especially in the car, that sounds like a great – I don't know. It sounds very interesting. I'm definitely going to look into that.
Yeah, I signed up for it as well, and I actually open on my desktop right now. I have the beginnings of my post to put up. And the quote that really, it's such a great book, and Seth Godin is very quotable, as Dan said. And the quote that stuck out for me is, "Artists are a people with a genius for finding a new answer, a new connection, and a new way of getting things done." And at camp here, we're moving towards a new model of what summer camp will be for us. And so that our staff, that quote will resonate with them for a while.
Very cool. I think we should at this point just move on to our discussion for the day. And Dan, I wonder if you could please sort of introduce the topic for us.
Sure. So the topic is definitely not a small one, is Facebook. We want to talk about from a few standpoints. One from a staffing standpoint of, you know, where do you take the line with your staff's profiles. And then we also want to talk about it as a marketing tool and how you're reaching out to your families and that. And so I don't know which one we're going to dive into first, but just some things to kind of keep in mind about Facebook. People definitely years ago said it was on the way out, and it's proven a not. I think in January 2010, they had 400 million people, more people than Austria, that live in the country of Austria, are on Facebook. Definitely it's growing in every country. I'm trying to look up right now what rank it is. In the world, it's number two. For the most used site, right behind Google. And I've also heard the rumor that they're going to start a Facebook email address. So you can get, like, you know, danweir@facebookmail.com or whatever. And I really feel like once that hits the market, it's on top of calling war on Google, it'll be kind of changing a little bit of the people that were hesitant to get on Facebook, really kind of embracing it. But the other thing I joke about Facebook is it's CNN for my grandfather. He has a Facebook account, and he will read the news, the recent news, like it's CNN. So, like, I hear all about my cousin Carly, she's 14, about her Farmville account. And, you know, oh, is Matt doing well? His Facebook status is a little bit weird. And, you know, it's just, it's funny to see how many people use it and in what different ways they use it for.
That's great. When Facebook came out, there was such a, in the camping community or camp directors community, there was such a hysteria of how are we going to control pictures of our campers going up online? How are we going to control our staff and how they're being represented online? And, you know, what if a parent happens to stumble upon one of our staff members' Facebook and they are, you know, at a party in a bikini drinking alcohol? How is that going to impact our organization? And I just remember being swept up with the hysteria. And I think every conference I went to every single Facebook, you know, a social networking session I could go to figure out what to do with Facebook and what to do with my staff. And there was just such a high anxiety, and I feel that now it's sort of slowing down because just like you said, your grandfather is on.
He loves it. Facebook. He absolutely loves it. Yeah. We'll be out to dinner and he'll be on the Facebook app. Yeah. It's like, you know, like, hey, talk to me, you know, I'm here.
It's like my mom, she just figured out how to text message, and she's obsessed right now. She's more on her phone than anything. So I think it's coming down, and I think the anxiety is not as high, and I think there's some good things about that, but also maybe camp directors are being a little too relaxed with it and the relationships with staff and campers online. And I've heard so many different, you know, everything from camps being like, you know what staff and campers do on their own time is not our business, to in contracts, we must have access to all of your Facebooks. You're not to put anything on it that would disgrace our organization. You're not supposed to put anything that represents our organization. You know, there's so many spectrums. I think it would be interesting if we talked about what our policies are at our camp.
As you said that, Gab, I thought to myself, I would love to know what Disney's policy is with their staff and Facebook.
Yeah. It's a great question. They're pretty good with their staff. Well, keeping images, really, it's what they do.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's hear then, what your Facebook policy is then. Joe, do you folks have something like that?
Nope. No policy. We talk to our staff about Facebook, and we talk to our staff about what they post and how they're perceived, but we treat it more as a how to teach them how to represent themselves for life, right? So if I'm leading a session in a few weeks on this topic, creating a culture of success, and part of that is making sure that when people are part of your culture of success, in that you're teaching them how to represent themselves. And so putting pictures of themselves online in compromising positions, be it on Facebook, be it on Flickr, be it wherever, is just a poor choice all around. So when they take photos of their cabin group and they post those on Facebook, it doesn't become an issue for us as long as they don't abuse it, right? So,
and Gab, what do you do?
We've asked counselors not to be they're not to be friends with any client of ours. So that means if staff members are coming in as CITs, that they are a client. And so anybody that was a client of ours and may become a client again of ours, they can't be friends on Facebook with them unless there's special permission, such as a sister or, you know, a friend from home, you know, longtime family friend. And they're also not to post anything that has Camp Waro or looks like Camp Waro on their Facebook. And we're reviewing that policy right now. Like I said, I really did get caught up in the hysteria, and I was like, oh my God, our camping organization is going to go under. Facebook is going to ruin everything. We didn't say we have to have access to your Facebook. I didn't feel that was fair, but we did have a lot of conversations with our staff members. So that was basically it. And now we're looking at, you know, how can we be a little bit more flexible? For the most part, 98% of our staff members just love camp and they love Waro and they want to represent it to their families and they want to be able to share it and show it. And they're good people. And I think that we have to trust that behavior. We also don't have a curfew at night at our camp because we trust them like we treat them like adults and we trust that they'll make the right decisions. And I think that's more the type of approach I'd like to take with our staff. So basically right now in our contract, we say if we know that they've been in contact with campers on Facebook or that they've posted pictures on Facebook, then that's going to affect their application for the next year. We're looking at changing that. We're in discussion right now. We're revising it.
Nice. Okay. Dan, what's yours?
So we, we're actually going to be forming ours in the upcoming weeks. We've been talking about it for quite some time. But this is what it says in our summer camp guidelines and rules and regs that we're following. Staff members are representatives of Frost Valley YMCA and should act in a manner consistent with the mission objectives of camp at all times. They will be held strictly accountable for their actions on and off property. How we kind of handle it is we're on Facebook all the time. My boss, my coworkers, my CEO, we're all on Facebook a lot. And we look at it as, you know, kind of representing our camp in a positive light. And if we find a screenshot, if we find a horrible image of staff members, we'll contact them about that and ask them, you know, do they think that's appropriate? And depending on it, you know, we might revoke their job offer. We might not hire them back. We might tell them they need to take a few years off and really kind of think about their judgment. But it was awesome. And we have a winter meeting where we bring up about 20 of our future staff and just spend a day really going over every topic changes every year. One year was how can we make our dining hall better, you know, like mm-hmm. just various things. And so this year I was supposed to lead a 15-minute filler Facebook session, which turned into an hour and a half. and they still joke about, like, don't let Dan lead a 15-minute session anymore. But I basically put several screenshots of horrible photos from Facebook of people underage drinking or doing drugs or saying horrible curses, and I put it on loop. And I played in the background, and before I put it on, I read really positive reviews of our staff from the summer, and I wrote, this is what our parents think of us 3 months out of the year, and then this is what they think of us the 9 months out of the year, and just played those images in the background. I'm like, I just want to go around and get everybody's thoughts, and it became like this. It was really awesome because there was such a wide variety of personalities in the room to see how people held themselves on Facebook, but also it became this kind of triggering mechanism with the staff. That night, everybody went and changed their Facebook went through and made sure everything was appropriate. And then the word got out to all of our other staff. So I think we're going to start working into staff training a Facebook session, just an hour long where I show the horrible screenshots and show that, you know, this does happen. And, you know, we are looking and that we are asking you to hold yourself to a high standard and going from there. But yeah.
So Dan, so if let's say a staff member, you know, it's December, they're off university and there's some compromising pictures of them on Facebook, but that has nothing to do with your organization. They're not wearing a hoodie that, you know,
that says
you would contact them and say, hey, this is inappropriate. And you'd have a discussion about that for hiring them for next year.
Yep. It sounds like a lot of work, and it is. But at the same point in time, I'm not trying to police it. There's such a great culture right now at the camp that the screenshots actually get sent to me by other staff members that are holding themselves to that standard. But at the same point in time, we're pretty liberal. We just ask that it's not illegal. You know, like if you're 21 and you're drinking, you're allowed to have a drink. You know, like it's okay. We're not trying to put like McCarthyism or Red Scare or anything into people in that sense. But right. We are telling them that, you know, we are expecting them, if they're going to be a staff member here, that they're a role model all times, and they carry on that. And a lot of it, we use the example of, there's always some staff in the room that were campers, and we talk about how the first time they found out one of their staff members smoked cigarettes,
yeah.
and how that ruined the world, and how they thought the staff member was going to get fired, and all this stuff. And it's always a hilarious story, and there's always at least one in the room. And we talk about, there's no difference if you're on the computer. It doesn't matter if you change your name and add ER to the end of it. You're still the same person. You're still representing yourselves. But we encourage them to put positive things on there. Like you mentioned, Gab, the trust their behavior, and we really do trust them to put positive things, and we encourage them to do that. But at the same point in time, we tell them, you know, like, if we see a horrible thing, we're going to talk to you about it. We're not going to have that dissonance and not acknowledge it.
And campers can be friends on their Facebook as well? Is that also?
No, I didn't go into that. Okay. Campers and staff are not supposed to be Facebook friends.
Okay.
We haven't officially cracked down on that in the sense of, you know, to the same degree of the screenshots,
mm-hmm.
but we remind them a lot. Definitely. Like, I feel like I send, like, probably bi-monthly emails up till about May, where they become almost weekly emails to the staff of, like, make sure you're watching yourself in this sense. And
right.
We talk about how their behavior is their actions, and, you know, this is the rules that we all follow and uphold ourselves to.
Yeah, we just explained to our staff for campers on their Facebook, you know, Facebook, we feel it's like the staff lounge. And you have conversations that are adult conversations in the staff lounge. And then when you go out of the staff lounge, it's camper appropriate conversations. And so if you're in a staff lounge, campers shouldn't be in there unless you're expected to be, you know, G-rated at all times, and that your friends are expected to be G-rated, whatever they post on your Facebook.
Oh, yeah,
and so,
definitely.
You know, you don't really have that much control over what they're going to be posting. And so that's the way we present it. And they seem to get that as well. Of course, I'm not naive enough to think that my staff, they're all, of course, you know, I know that some of them have campers on their Facebook, but we make that phone call. Joe, sorry, you were going to say something, Joe?
Yeah, I was going to say, it goes back to what you said earlier, Gab, that if you're going to trust them, so here's your thing, at camp, you have no curfew. You trust that they're going to go to bed. You trust that they're going to be ready to go to work the next morning. So why don't we extend that trust beyond that? Because I think one of the things we're missing with our staff and with our camp community is the ability to use something like Facebook to form a much larger community. And yes, I talk to my mm-hmm. staff about appropriate images, and yes, I talk to them about what their friends are writing on their Facebook wall and all of those things. And if those are the types of friends you have and the types of images you want to post, then you shouldn't friend campers. But RCITs are a great example. So technically they're a camper, but I think that there are 15 CITs who are my friends on Facebook because they asked, right? I don't go out and ask. I don't even ask my staff to be friends. I could care less. Not that I could care less, but it's just not my thing. And I'm not on Facebook policing it, as in I don't check their photos. I don't check because, once again, as Dan said, we have a culture in place where they will share that information with each other, and they will say, hey, this isn't in the best interest of camp. Because if we want ambassadors to go forward and be champions of camp, then we need to let that happen in a natural way, where if a camper makes a connection to someone, right, years ago, thinking back to when I was a camper in the 80s, and I have a staff member who I look up to, so let's say his name is JB, hypothetically, and I think he's the most awesomest counselor, but the only way I can ever see JB is at camp. And then occasionally, maybe once a year, I might see him from a distance in the mall. And I've had this happen where they yell, "Hey, Joe!" And you're like, you wave and you say, "That's hey, how's it?" And you have no idea who they are. But you pretend like you do. There was just a chat on the latest Spark episode, CBC Spark, about Facebook and how we friend and what is friending. By becoming their friend on Facebook, it doesn't mean you're a friend. It's just they know you, and they want to know you, right? They want to hear what you have to say. And the same way as we watch what we say and watch what we do in our lives, we need to pass that on online. And if I can teach my staff that, then it becomes a much more valuable tool for them to go out and be friends with? Because do you, here's the question then to you, Gab, they're not allowed to be friends with any clients. So what if a friend of a camp,
That's right.
A friend of a camper tries to friend a staff member, or sorry, a parent of a camper tries to friend a staff member?
Exactly. And I think that's the, you know, pickle that we're in. And so much of our philosophy on camp is about trusting our staff. And we do have that type of community that does contact us and says, you know, I've saw this and this is inappropriate. And, you know, it's already in place. And I think that, you know, that's the type of approach that I want to go with. But the other part I think that I was having issues with was just the liability of campers, you know, freely communicating with staff members online without supervision. And what kind of liability do we put our staff in when campers are constantly connecting with their counselors, whereas, as you know, Joe said back in the day in the 80s, either you saw somebody in the mall or you're sending them a letter. And a letter went through the parents, and the parents knew that they're communicating with a staff member. But on Facebook, parents don't know. And so I guess that part also
I don't think, Gab, that a letter always did go through the parents, right? You have the famous autograph book from the 80s, right, where people put their address in. And staff members, I know that we were told, okay, you're not supposed to share your address, but what if you did? And then the parents might not have any idea that a letter was going. As a kid, I knew where the stamps were stored. I knew where the envelopes were stored. I knew how to send a letter, right? So I think we're just imagining that it's easier now, which it is, if you try to protect them from something that is from the possibility of liability, then maybe we shouldn't run camp at all.
But I like what you're saying, Joe, is you know, give them the tools that they need to survive in the world. Let's talk about, let you know, maybe open up a discussion like Dan did with, you know, with shocking pictures and
oh, it was awesome. It was great. It was really.
I think, Dan, you should take some pictures of yourself.
Yeah.
And put it up.
There's
and be like, there, how weird is this for you guys?
This will be like a contest to see. There's a photo of me on MySpace. I'm not gonna say where. And I talk about this in session, so I don't care. Of me,
Joe's already Googling.
Yeah, he's already looking for it.
Right now.
No, I had them remove my name.
Google
so
else the call will drop again. I've been in and out of this thing so often today.
But yeah, so there's a photo of me when I was 16. I was a CIT, and I'm wearing. We had to dress up like girls, and I'm wearing a bikini on top of jeans and a t-shirt. And yeah, it's online. And like, you know, what if a parent found that of me and made a judgment? And then you start getting into like, well, what if a parent makes a judgment about my facial hair? You know, you really kind of start breaking things down into that. But going back to the address thing, there are still camps that will give every single address out on a calendar to everybody there. And there are I got in this discussion with Nathan S. Brandt, who's the CEO for South Mountain YMCA, and we were talking. He was like, how can we create the perfect safe social network for our campers and stuff? And like, we kept getting into these what ifs. Well, what if somebody could do this or that or this and that? You know, like, there's no way to really, you'd have to get a full-time staff, a few full-time staff members to monitor that social network to really truly ensure the safety. It kind of goes back into making sure you're hiring the right people instead.
Well, and you as a camp can create a closed social network, right? If you can use Ning and just, you need to approve everybody. There are those systems in place. The challenge I have with those is that they don't work. So Facebook works.
Yep.
They don't go to them. They don't, they're going to Facebook, you know.
Yep.
Unless you got a Ning Farmville app, and then everything will be okay.
Do you know that there's more people who play Farmville than use Twitter?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
I don't know.
Thank
what
goodness,
is.
Yeah.
There you go.
Basically, it is. You know the games, The Sims.
Yeah.
It's like that, but on Facebook with a farm. And I'm hoping my grandfather doesn't find it because I really don't want to get those phone calls. I just grew my garden and. Poppy, if you're listening, I love you still, but don't do it. Don't do it.
So I think in the end we need to, as camps, move towards. The first thing whenever something new comes out, be it Facebook, be it Twitter, is A, people fail to understand what it is. And then they fail to grasp how they can utilize it. And I think that what you get in when you have meetings in Gab, when Facebook first hit the scene and there were conferences where there were social media sessions, there were a lot of older camp owners and directors who were just freaking out, you know, that would, no, I'm not even going to allow my staff to go on Facebook. And I was, it just seems odd. But I think it's this failure to use the tool. And if we trust our staff enough to care for, you know, 7 to 15-year-old campers, we don't trust them to be friends with those people away from camp as well. And I don't think there is a liability back on camp, because part of that responsibility falls on a parent. If you're letting your child use Facebook, you as a parent need to have a talk with your child about how they choose their friends as well.
I'm actually I'm going to jump in at that point. I'm sure we all have a lot more to add to that, but I really want to keep us on track. So my gut is that we have to come back.
So this will be the staffing one, and we can do a marketing one another point.
Yeah, exactly. And I think even more on this topic, there's more out there. So for those that are listening, we'd love to hear what your thoughts are and to see your policies, what you have as well. Dan and Joe have posted a links in the notes at different times, different policies for different things. And so maybe the three of you would post that for me if you have it available. And we can share those around. And those who are listening could do the same thing in the blog comments for this issue, then we'll be able to sort of continue the discussion outside of the podcast. I'm also conscious of the fact that Gab needs to go pretty quickly. So we'll wrap up the discussion and move on to our picks of the week. And Gab, I was wondering if you had a pick of the week.
I do have a pick of the week. My pick of the week is VoiceShot. And I feel like I've already talked about it, so I'm a little bit nervous if I already had it as pick of the week. But if I did, it means I really believe in it. But VoiceShot, I think especially most Americans could connect with VoiceShot, and I hope it doesn't connect in a negative way, but Palin used it in her campaign. But we use VoiceShot. It's basically a recording of your voice, and it's just we send it out to all of our families. We try to send out this phone call, you know, around 11 o'clock in the morning so people aren't home and the answering machine picks it up. And basically, we've used it for reminders of registration and early bird discounts or so on and so forth. And we only use it once a year. And I do a mini, you know, podcast basically, and I add in a little bit of camp guitar music to start it off. And I probably take a couple of takes and I package it up together, and then you can just shoot that online. And we get so many phone calls back from parents saying, oh, I really do want to register my daughter to your camp. Thank you for the reminder. And so it's we use it right now for a reminder for returning families that we're going to open up our waiting list now. So if you haven't registered, please register by a certain time. And it's been very successful for us. So that's our camp director that came up with that, and I thought it was lame. I was like, I'm not doing this. This sounds lame. And it's also my mom, so I talk to her that way sometimes. And so, like, this is stupid. it works great, and it's not as lame as it is as I thought it would be. And we've definitely gained a lot of campers from that. So,
what's the cost for that?
VoiceShot. Good question. I'll ask Jackie. I cannot remember, but I know that it comes full back to us. I mean, it's better than putting an advertisement in a magazine, but I can't quite remember. It's actually not that expensive, and it depends on how many people you're calling. But we have French campers, and we also have English campers, so we make two different messages, and they're able to divide it in how many ways we want to divide it. But I could next podcast I could mention how much it is, or you can just go online and check it out. It's just voiceshot.com.
And actually, Gab, I was thinking maybe you could post the MP3 as a blog post.
Sure. I'll do with the French and the English, no problem.
That'd be perfect.
Sweet.
Right.
What sort of level of time and effort you're putting into it would be awesome.
Yeah, no problem. It's very easy. And I think I actually might just sign out now if that's okay.
Yeah, do you any web plugs before you go?
Yep. So you guys can go to my camp, which is waro.com, and see what we're doing there. And also you could go to my website, which is gabriellerail.com. I'm also on Twitter. And I'm rarely on Facebook, but you can find me on Facebook too if you'd like to.
Cool.
So thanks a lot.
Thanks Gab. Yeah.
All right. Bye.
Joe, what's your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is a site called Flavors Me. It's Flavors, it's in the show notes, but it's flavors.me. And I saw this originally. Adam Brown from AdventureWorks had tweeted about it. That's the first I saw. And I sort of followed that link. And I think that same day it was on Lifehacker. So Flavors Me is a aggregate site where it will bring all of your web presence into one place. Now, in the show notes, I've put links to the two Flavors Me's that I've set up, Yo-Yo Joe and a Pierce Williams. Travis, you've seen mine. What I went for with Yo-Yo Joe, it can collect your Twitter feed. It can collect your photos. I have Flickr coming in there, my YouTube stream, and my blog. And so it's really one place where everything goes together. And so driving around one day, I was like, how can I apply this to camp? And the thought came to me that this might be the perfect place for a parent portal where parents can go and see tweets about what's going on at camp, pictures that are posted about camp, and video that's posted about camp, and blog posts. So it's one place they can go to get an update on where their camp, you know, what's going on at camp at that particular moment at time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally does. I think that's an awesome use for it. It's free, basically, unless you have a custom URL, is that correct?
Yeah, if you pay $20 a year, you get a custom URL, you get up-to-date stats, and you get a contact page. The reason I had contemplated that, and I've talked this over with our office manager, and there's potential that you could also password protect a custom URL, so you could give your parents that password, but other people couldn't see it. So that's the only thing we're thinking of security-wise. Not to get into the iPhone again, but can I just say, so Travis, you had emailed me last week to see if the video I shot as my introduction was done on the iPhone, and it was. And so I was out at the hill tobogganing with my son, and if you go to the My Flavors Me link, you can see the video. There's a video there called Matthew versus the Ramp. And essentially, I took a whole bunch of photos of Matthew, or video of Matthew on the toboggan hill, and we had built a ramp with a snow shovel. And I took like five or six separate videos, and as I was walking home, this is all done on my iPhone, I thought to myself, you know, I can post tweets from the hill, and I can post a video from the hill, and I can post a photo. I wonder if I can edit these videos together on my phone and post it from my phone. And sure enough, there's an app for that. And so I, you know, for $1.99, I bought Video Ninja. And you can edit and trim your videos and then put them together. And in my mind, it opened up this whole other possibility for summer camp, right? That you could literally have someone walking around with an iPhone doing this in real time. Now, it has to be an iPhone, and that's the... That's an iPhone 3GS nonetheless. That's the kicker. But the potential of a site like this really makes it easier than having someone log into a WordPress or into a Joomla site and updating things that way. So,
oh, that's very cool, Joe. Thank you.
So I don't even know how to actually pronounce it. It's TuxDux. It's TeuxDeux. It's a simple, as I say, a simple designy free browser-based to-do app. And so basically it's a to-do list. This is actually, it was sent to me by my friend Brian Sense, who's the executive director at Education Leadership Adventures, Educo Leadership Adventures. And he was telling me how, like, this has definitely transformed the way he's worked. And I was definitely a doubter at first because I already have a Google Calendar. You know, I still like writing some stuff on paper. Like, I don't need another to-do list app or anything like that. I have Evernote. Really, it's definitely helped me out in a lot of different ways. So basically, it's really simple. It's free. It's Joe's favorite flavor. You just, you know, you type in what you have to do, and then it carries it over from day to day to day until you could click it, and then it puts an X through it. And then it has it there forever. So you can go back and see what days you were doing things. And I really especially with camping, I like to feel productive. I like, you know, I used to roof, and when I was roofing, I could see I actually built a roof. I could actually see the work done. But sometimes with camping, especially in the off season, you know, like plugging away at applicants and getting campers, you know, you don't always feel like you're getting stuff done. And so I could look back at my to-do list and see that, you know, like, wow, I did really get a lot done, and it carries things over, so I'm not missing anything. And so the nice thing about it too is it breaks down by day. And then there's also on the bottom for me, the one of my crazy ideas is the someday one as well too. So it'll just kind of carry over, and I could just drag and drop into it. And they don't have an iPhone app yet. But that's all the frequently asked questions is about when are you making your iPhone app? And I really, really like it a lot.
The only thing I'll add into that, Dan, I think it's actually pronounced to-do.
To-do. Oh, yeah. That would make a lot of sense. that would definitely make a lot of
ducks,
sense.
Ducks. That's
I'm a winner. I don't know what to say. But this definitely, hopefully, this stays in the show. So,
that's
part.
That's freaking
so
brilliant.
It's been great. I definitely highly recommend it. And it's not too bad right now. I use it on the browser and iPhone, so it still works there. I definitely always have it open on a computer now, and I never have to worry about losing a moleskin or a little piece of paper with my to-do list on it.
That's awesome. They say on their website, Dan, that they're in the midst of making an iPhone app right now.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my first complaint to my friend. There's no iPhone app. Yeah, I was happy he sent it to me.
Well, cool. And I will quickly give my pick, and then we'll wrap this up. My pick of the week, and I'm going to have a bad habit of picking Mac apps, because it's probably because I just hit Mac right at the same time, right at the right time, when it's so easy to download software from the net. And when I was on Windows, you still had to wait for the disk to arrive and stuff like that. So try out so many things that are available for free and then choose to buy them if they're good. And one thing I got is 1Password. And it's been recommended by lots of people. And it is a Mac-only app. Actually, it's not a Mac-only app now that I think about it.
Woo-hoo.
And because it can... I don't know. Let's just say I looked that up and put it in the show notes, whether or not it is. It attaches to your browser, and you can keep it just running on its own as well, but it remembers passwords. So you have one master password that opens up the database, and then it'll sort of automatically copy and paste passwords for you. And I use it all the time, and I back up my database to my Dropbox account, and then I can open 1Password from my work computer or my home computer, because it accesses the same database as long as they're not both open at the same time. Has an iPhone app. And the other thing that the new version does that I really like is it will store software licenses. So for those downloadable software programs, you just keep the license stored there, and then when you move on to a new computer, the license is right there and
nice.
Available to go. So I like that, nice. To have that all in one central spot. That's 1Password. And I'll have to look up the address. It's a funny one to find the program. So I'll put that in the show notes of what that goes. So we'll say goodbye. Dan, you want to tell us where we can find more about you?
Sure. I tweet at Dan Loves Camp. I also blog on Camp Nation's blog, campnation.ca, and blog at Dan Loves Camp. And then I'm going to be presenting at the end of the month, in just a few weeks, on What the Internet Is Not Evil at Tri-State. And I'm going to be talking a lot about, from a child's perspective, of why kids are going on the Internet and why it's not a negative thing. Yeah, and I work for frostvalley.org, so...
That's awesome. And Joe?
Well, you can find out all about me at flavors.me/yoyojoe, Y-O-Y-O-J-O-E. That has Twitter, YouTube, Flickr, and the blog posts. You can also, I'll be speaking in a couple of weeks at the Buckeye Leadership Workshop regarding a whole 8-hour session, 4 days, 2 hours each day, on creating a culture of success in camping specifically. And then the other plug sort of is for April 23rd in Toronto, Ontario. There's a Kids in Camp charity event being held where Stuart McLean and Andy Berry. It's an evening of camp. It will be well worth going to. So you can find out more about that by typing Kids in Camp into your search engine.
Great, thank you very much. And I'll follow Joe and say you can find out about me at flavors.me/Zoic, Z-O-I-C. And we should say that's flavors spelled the American way, F-L-A-V-O-R-S. So there's no U in it. And that's my personal stuff. I Twitter for work at twitter.com/rkidsnet. And I'm blogging at Camp Nation as well and at rkids.net/blog.
Oh, Travis, just before you go, chest pains have all gone away, so we're all good.
That's good, Joe. Glad to hear it. Joe gave us a little medical scare before we got started, before we started recording. Good to hear, Joe. I was going to ask about that afterwards. So the only other thing I would say in terms of a thank you is we want to thank our long-suffering audio editor, Donovan from, from whereitsatproductions.ca, who is going to be even longer-suffering today because of all of the problems that we've had trying out new things. Once again, my audio is going to be kind of funny, and with Joe having troubles with his Skype. So thanks very much, Don. We appreciate it. And I think that's it. So thank you all for meeting up on Skype today. And to our listeners, thank you so much for downloading the Camp Nation podcast. You can find our show notes on campnation.ca.
This Camp Nation podcast was brought to you by Our Kids Go to Camp magazine and the camps.ca online summer camp directory. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.